me talk to you about prayer tonight. Our goal to learn intercession, to pray for others. It's always very quick in our hearts to pray for us and ours and what we need and what we want. God's focus is more upon praying for others, recognizing their needs. So much so that we're even to pray for our enemies. And so we need to be practiced in this. One of the keys to this, and just a few short thoughts tonight, is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not, I don't want to emphasize prayer as though it were just a burden of duty that I'm laying on you. We want to look tonight at the spirit of supplications. Interesting name for the Holy Spirit. We find this in Zechariah 12:10. There you see it says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This pictures the time at the end of the tribulation period when Christ returns and Israel looks up and says, this is the one we killed, but this is our Messiah. And the work that God will do in their life, for all Israel will be saved at that time, is that he will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, God's enabling power, and of supplications. Here the Holy Spirit is the communicator of God's grace and the one that that fills us with the desire to pray, supplication. We see this then in the New Testament, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And what infirmities is that? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Infirmities is weaknesses. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit's language is beyond our ability to speak it. And he that searcheth the hearts, the Holy Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us as believers, indwells us, and he communicates directly to God. So he, knowing our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, communicates accurately, making up for our weaknesses in praying. Then in Ephesians 6:18, we have a phrase, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. To pray with all prayer doesn't sound like it means very much, but to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit seems to be the focus. Praying in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we need to learn what it means to pray, but with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 also says this phrase, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, within the bounds of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, let me just say before we take our prayer requests that there are four things we should recognize from the Scripture concerning the Holy Spirit. First, we need to believe that the Spirit lives within you. This is one of those things that the Bible says it. We don't necessarily feel it. It doesn't feel good, bad, indifferent. Doesn't feel like indigestion. It's the Holy Spirit just living within us. We don't know these things. But we have to believe it for us to make use of it. So believe the Spirit lives within you. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted in Christ after you heard the gospel. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The seal speaks of security. It speaks of the seal of God is upon us, we belong to him. The seal of God is upon us, we are given his authority to speak to others. So we are to be like ambassadors for him, and the Holy Spirit gives us that authority. Christ was saying to the 70 that he sent out, if they reject you, they reject me. If they reject me, they reject the Father. So, in other words, we speak as in the very place of Christ. The second thing we should understand is that it is possible, and we should not, grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This day of redemption is the time when we are taken up to be with him in heaven. This is that third part of our salvation. The first part is when we first get saved, our spirit is justified. The second part of salvation is the process that we're going through now, where our soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, is being transformed to be Christ-like. And that's called sanctification, and that's the salvation of our soul, the lower part of or the higher part of the natural man. But the third part of salvation is called glorification. That's when at the rapture he takes us up to be with him forever. Our very body is saved, soul, spirit, and body. And that is the day of redemption, when the redemption is finished. And he says we are sealed then by him that. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you read the verses around there, you see that primarily grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with our speech, has to do with saying good things, bad things, rotten things, helpful things. And the Holy Spirit living within us hears every word and hears the words before we say them. So that will grieve him. We don't want to do that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And then the third thing is be filled with the Spirit. A significant verse is Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It sounds, when I was first reading this, it sounded like a strange pairing. You know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Like those are the two choices. What he's doing is suggesting, I believe, what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with wine, wine controls you. It affects the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you look, the way you smell. It just affects a lot of, you know, it controls you. It dominates your thinking. So it is with being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not like a car getting filled with gasoline. You have power to go and then you have to get refilled. This is being filled in the sense of he coming into your house and then moving out and filling up every room. This is Christ, this is the Holy Spirit doing the work of Christ in your life and you yielding complete control. Being filled is allowing him into every room of your life, even those back closets that you kind of keep hidden from everybody else but yourself. So don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is where we yield. We have the Word of God telling us what God wants, and we say yes to that. We don't say, well, I can't do that, or else I wouldn't have this, I wouldn't have that. We don't second-guess God in this thing. We just let him be in control. And then finally, pray intercessory prayer in the Spirit. And this is where we were headed, talking about prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, but then watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When we're praying for others, that's intercession. We're interceding for them. So perseverance, keep at it. People need your prayers. They need God's work in their life. And supplication for all saints, that is accomplished when all of your prayer and supplication is in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is the way we live the Christian life. Comments or questions?